sorry about ending the way that I did, but I pushed the wrong buttons because of my skills technically. So Jonathan's going to repair it for me. Thank you. Now, chapter 30. He's looking at everything and justifying himself. See? So we're going to see how he looked at these things to justify his own way and what he asked to be done, and God did it. Okay? Now, let's pick it up here, chapter 30, that's where we left off. Now, he's talking about all of those people that were really beneath him, you know. So he says, and even of their children, verse 8, Job 30, they were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were scourged out of the land, and now I am their song. They're singing about me. You know, and when I read that, I can think of these country westerns, you know, and they have the western band, you know. Yea, I am their byword. They despise me. They flee far from me. They do not spare spitting in my face. Okay. Quite a thing. He really had it there, didn't he? Because he has loosed my cord and afflicted me, they have also cast off restraint before me. Okay. Now, let's come over here to chapter 31, verse 9. He talks about, because they were accusing him, you know, maybe Job, you had a woman on the side and you haven't been telling anybody about this, see? So he says in verse 1 here, he says, I made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I look upon a virgin? Okay. So he says down in verse 9, if my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have laid at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another and let others bow down upon her. Okay. Verse 14. What then shall I do when God rises up and when he calls me to account? What shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make him also? And did not one fashion us in the womb? Okay, come over here to verse 22. If he didn't help the poor and all that sort of thing, then let my right arm fall off from the shoulder blade. I am so righteous, he's daring God. Let it fall off, and let my arm be broken off at the elbow. For calamity from God is a terror to me, and by reason of his majesty, I could do nothing. Come down here to verse 33. If I covered my transgressions like Adam, by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, then let me tremble before a great multitude and be terrified by the scorn of families, and I will be silent and not go out the door. Oh, that I had one to hear me! You guys aren't listening to me? Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me. Hold on, Job. It's coming. And the indictment that my adversary has written, surely I would carry it upon my shoulder. See, if you can find anything wrong with me, see, let it be written. I would carry it on my shoulder. I would bind it like a crown upon my head. I would declare to him, that is God, the number of my steps. Like a prince, I would come before him. I'm not going to come as nothing before God. I'm going to come like a prince. Okay? If my land cry against me, or its furrows weep together, if I have eaten its strength without paying for it, or have caused its owners to lose their life, let thorns come forth instead of wheat, and weeds instead of barley. the words of Job are ended. So here they are, all three of them out there, listening to all of this and arguing back and forth. Chapter 32, verse 1. Then these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. And actually, he thought his righteousness was greater than God's. So then the answer came from someone least expected. Verse 2, then was kindled the anger of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram. His wrath burned against Job because he had justified himself rather than God. See? Also, his wrath was kindled against his three friends because they found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now, Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were older than he in days. And when Elihu saw there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I'm young, and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid, and I dared not show my opinion. I said, the aged should speak. The multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Now notice verse 9. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand justice. Therefore I say, hearken to me, I will also declare my opinion. So then he goes through and he brings out his opinion and he says, where were you? Okay? Now, Elihu continued all the way through. Come over here to chapter 35. That talks about, let's go to 34, verse 35, chapter 34, verse 35. Job has spoken without knowledge, and his words were without wisdom. My desire, Elihu says, is that Job may be tried unto the end, because his answers are like those of wicked men. For he adds rebellion to his sin, rebelling against God, worshiping himself and all the things that he did. And remember this, every good thing that he did was what God commanded. Now what does God say when you do every good thing that he commands? He says, call yourself unprofitable servants, for you've done that which is commanded. See? He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. Now, chapter 35. And Elihu answered and said, looking Job right in the eye, you know, I imagine that was a horrible sight. I imagine his eyes were sunken deep into his head. I imagine his beard was miserable, you know, the way he was with all everything. And his clothes were total mess. So he looked him right in the eye and said, do you think this to be right, that you say, my righteousness is more than God's? For you say, what advantage will it be to me? What profit shall I have more than if I had sinned? I will answer your words and your companions with you. Look to the heavens. Look at something big. Look at God. Look at what he has made. And see and behold the clouds that are higher than you. If you sin, what do you do against him? Or if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do for him? If you are righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness may hurt a man like yourself, and your righteousness may profit the Son of Man. By the reason of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry out because of the powerful arm of the mighty. But none says, where is God, my maker? So you have to turn it over to God. everything, who teaches us more than the animals of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of heaven. There they cry, but he gives no answer. Therefore, because of the pride of evildoers. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. See? When you come with your own reasons and you come with your own hostility to God, that in itself is vanity. How much less when you say you do not see him, the cause is before him, you must wait for him. And now because it is not so, he is visited in anger, yet he does not understand even his great extremities, that is Job. Therefore Job opened his mouth in vain and multiplied his words without knowledge. All right. Now, let's come to chapter 38. He said, remember, oh, that I would God would answer me. Well, God did. Now, what we will see in the end is that through all the trials and difficulties, God blessed him abundantly even much more. Because God wants us to learn to love him and learn his character and learn his way and understand what he does. And that even though, now, Ken gave me a wonderful magazine, and I probably need to subscribe to it. It's called Astronomy. And there are a lot of wonderful pictures here concerning the things in the heavens. So God was generous to Job. He didn't come in a flash. He didn't come with lightning. He came in a whirlwind. Verse 1, chapter 38. So he asked the question, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Everything he said, because he missed the first basic point. Everything comes from God. So God said, now gird up your loins like a man, and I will demand of you, and you shall answer me. You think you've done good things, Job? You think all your works were great, and you claimed they were greater than me? And you said that you wanted me to answer you. So let me ask you a question. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it. If you have understanding, who has determined its measurements, if you know? Or who has stretched out the line upon it? On what are the foundations fastened to? Or who has laid its cornerstone? Okay. Then he goes on, and let's come here to chapter 40. Okay. Chapter 40 is very instructive. After he explained everything the best he could about his creation and why it works the way that it did. Chapter 40 and verse 1. This is the lesson. Okay? The Lord answered Job and said, shall he who contends with the Almighty instruct him? Are we going to instruct God? What can God, who is perfect, can a man give or instruct him? Who is totally imperfect in the work of his hands? Nothing. He who reproves God, let him answer it, even though it comes. And Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I'll lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, but I will proceed, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. And so then God settled the issue. Okay? Verse 6. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up your loins now like a man, and I will demand of you, because you've been demanding of me, I'll demand of you. And you declare unto me, will you even annul my judgment? Will you condemn me? So that you may be righteous? See, God is perfect. God wants to show the love, but he also has to correct when there is not the love given. And have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then he says, now, Job, I'll tell you what you do. Let's see how you do at this. Verse 10. Deck yourself now with majesty and excellency, and array yourself with glory and beauty. In other words, make yourself God like me. Cast abroad the rage of your wrath, and behold, everyone who is proud, and abase him. Look on everyone who is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Now, I wonder what those atheists are going to do. Can you imagine? I wonder what those who say, we want freedom from religion, when they stand before God and he says, I am here. Well, they will do like Job did, chapter 42. Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do all things, and that no thought can be withheld from you. You asked, who is he who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have spoken that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, yea, which I did not know. Compared to God, all the knowledge of man is nothing. It's like a little whiff of vapor that's gone. Here I beseech you, I will speak. You said, I will ask of you, and you will declare to me. So now he's declaring to God. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. There are a lot of people out there. Oh, I know there's God. But now my eye sees you. In other words, he finally had the proper perspective of understanding about God. So what did he do? Verse 6. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in sackcloth and ashes. And so that's what we need to do. When you don't necessarily have to get sackcloth and ashes, because you have to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And God will hear and God will help and God is there. And, you know, I imagined that through it all that Job was saying, well, where is God? He doesn't comfort me. He doesn't help me. He hasn't done anything for me. Well, there was something for him to learn in it, see? And after all, isn't salvation what we want? Isn't salvation what God grants us? And will there be anything to be compared to it? Okay. Now, God will deliver us. He will comfort us. He will help us. Come here to Psalm 119. 119 and verse 50. Comfort comes from God, but you have to ask for it. Help comes from God, but you have to ask for it. Verse 50. Psalm 119 and verse 50. All right. Let's go back to verse 49. Remember the word of your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. Verse 50. That your word has given me life. That's why you need to take all your troubles and problems to God in prayer, on your knees, asking God to help you. See? It's like Asaph. In Psalm 37, he couldn't figure out why the wicked prosper. He couldn't figure out why they didn't have troubles like he had. He couldn't figure out why their children were blessed so much, and he was overburdened with anxiety and depression. Until he went into the sanctuary and prayed. Then God gave him understanding, see. Well, when we pray, our prayers go right to the sanctuary of God in heaven above. Okay? Your word has given me life. Okay? Verse 76. All right? Verse 76. I beseech you, let your steadfast love comfort me according to the promise to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me so that I may live. Your law is my delight. 81. My soul faints for your salvation. I hope in your word. Now this is quite a section here. My eyes fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me? God promises comfort. God promises help. God promises relief. He will give it his way. We need to understand what we need to do, and we do that through prayer. God will put it in our minds and hearts. Okay? Verse 83, for I have become like a wineskin in smoke, all empty, the wine is all gone. Yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? Or all the troubles I go through? The proud have dug a pit for me, men who do not act according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. Now, what I want you to see is how he was thinking, going from what his perceived trouble was to what he knew what was right, and coming to God. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me! They had all consumed me upon earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Give me life according to your loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of your mouth. All right. Now let's come to the New Testament and see. Let's see some things here that are important for us. Okay? Let's come to 2 Peter, the 5th chapter. Now think about this. 2 Peter, the 5th chapter. The apostles, when they first began preaching and teaching after Jesus ascended into heaven, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, they didn't know how it was going to end, did they? Do you think that they really understood when Jesus told them on that day on the Mount of Olives, as they were looking at the temple and everything there, the beautiful temple, said the day's coming when there won't be one stone left upon another? Really? Now, how's that going to happen? He told them that they would have persecution, but they didn't know how bad it was going to be. Okay? Now, here's Peter after all of this. All of this. He says, let's pick it up here in verse 6. Be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, as God did to Job, so that he may exalt you in due time, casting some of your cares upon him, casting all your cares upon him, all of them, because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because there is an adversary out there, Satan the devil. For your adversary, Satan the devil, is prowling about as a roaring lion, seeking anyone he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Don't let him come and overwhelm you with grief, with depression, with anxiety, with wondering, why is this happening? All right, if that is happening, ask him on your knees. Pray for understanding. Ask for God's protection. Okay? Ask him for the strength that you cannot get so emotionally involved in the things that you are going through. Even like Job, he said, I can't even sleep. I toss to and fro. Now, don't let it come to that. Ask God to help you. He will. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are being fulfilled among your brethren who are in the world. Look out beyond you. Now here's a promise. Claim this promise. Go to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, open up your Bible while you're praying, and read this, and claim this promise. Now may the God of all grace, That's all grace, all mercy, all goodness, all love, all righteousness, okay? Who has called you unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. After you had suffered a while, himself, because God is working with you, perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. In time, that will come. Okay? To him be the glory and power into the ages of eternity. Amen. All right? Now let's see here what this does then. Just turn a few pages going forward in the book to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Because what we are going through and what we are experiencing and all of these trials that come upon us, and they do, but God leads us out of it. What does that do? That helps us to have understanding. God grants us mercy. We are merciful to others. God grants us his love. We love others. Okay? Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see, part of the problem was with Job, he was fighting God all the way. That's the opposite of peace. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace. Now, one of the things that comes along when you have troubles and difficulties, you know you should pray, but you don't pray. And somehow, many people figure they can work it out in their minds. Well, that's what Job was doing. Did he work it out in his mind, even as good as he was? No, God had to work it out, okay? By faith, we have access into this grace in which we stand. Now, what is that grace? Direct access to God the Father and Jesus Christ in heaven above when we pray. Like I've said many, many times, how close is God to you? Well, as close as the floor is to your knees. Now notice, Paul learned something that very few of us will ever, ever, ever learn. But we need to be about learning how, okay? Verse 3. No, let's finish verse 2. We ourselves boast in the hope of the glory of God. Keep looking to the goal. Now verse 3. And not only this, we also boast in tribulations. Oh, goody, I have another trial. I myself haven't come to that yet. I suppose what Paul went through, he finally came to it. Yes, Lord, you told me I was going to suffer, okay? Here's why. This I am learning. Realizing the tribulation brings forth endurance. You can't give up. And endurance brings forth character. Why? Because you stuck with God in spite of everything. See? Character. And character brings forth hope. You can see that through it all, that God is going to work it out. And the hope of God never makes us ashamed because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. That's what God wants, see. As I've said here recently, remember this. God loves you as he loved Jesus Christ. Well, think on that. Now, what did Jesus go through? Well, you can read about everything that happened on that Passover day. And he did it willingly. All right? Now, let's come to 2 Corinthians. Okay? 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And Paul gives us some perspective on how these things come. Verse 1, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. Okay? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to Timothy, our brother, to the church that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in the entire region of Achaia. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, every epistle starts out that way, and that grace and peace is available to us all the time when we get on our knees and claim it and ask God to help us. Okay? Continuing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Boy, he went through a lot of them, didn't he? Yes, indeed. In order that, here's the reason, we learn the lessons. We understand what it's like to be miserable, wretched, wondering where God is and how things are going to come out. And with the things that are coming on in the world, there are going to be times like that. Who comforts us in all our tribulation in order that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trial through the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God will comfort us. God will help us. All right? Now, let's come to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, that's just before where we need to go, to Hebrews. Okay? 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Let's pick it up in chapter 2, okay? And let's pick it up here in verse 13. Notice how Paul was able to write such inspiring words. Why? Because he suffered so much and understood what God was doing and understood that eternal life is absolutely going to be such a marvelous thing. Verse 13, he says, "Now we are duty-bound to give thanks to God always concerning you, brethren, who are beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning has called you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Look at the calling. Don't look at the problem. Ask God to help you solve the problem. Now, if you can't solve it, put it in God's hands. Ask him to work with, if there are people involved in causing the problem, ask God to intervene and change their minds. Can God change minds? Can God make people do things that they don't even know that God is making them do it? Always remember, the soldiers sitting down, watching Christ die on the cross, they cast lots for his vesture, prophesied in Psalm 22. God made them do it. Did they know that God made them do it? They didn't say, "Oh, yes, Lord." No, they were carnal Italian soldiers, having nothing to do with the word of law, God. See? Well, remember that. Claim that promise. If there's another person involved who is recalcitrant, then you ask God to change their minds and do the best you can. Okay? Belief of the truth, obtaining glory. So then, brethren, notice, stand firm. Hold fast to the ordinances that you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. And claim this, that Paul has written his promises from God to you. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, because if God's Spirit is in you, he's in you, isn't that true? Yes. Christ is in you, the Father is in you, yes. And God, even our Father, who loved us and gave us an eternal encouragement and good hope through grace, encourage your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God will do it. He says he will. Will we believe the words of God? All right, come here to Hebrews 13. And we will claim this promise. Okay? Hebrews 13. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. Do not allow the love of money to influence your behavior, but be satisfied with what you have. For he has said, now, there is no comparison to the promises of God and wealth of this world. Okay? For he has said, you can claim this promise, in no way will I ever leave you. No, I will never forsake you in any way. So then, let us boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Well, if ISIS comes here and they have their swords and they whack off our head, we've made it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. See? Can you save yourself? No. All right. Now let's come here to Psalm 20, and we will finish here. Okay? Psalm 20. Again, here are some scriptures that you can always go to rely upon and ask God to help you. Psalm 20, verse 1. Psalm 20, verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob sets you on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary, directly from God, and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offerings. And we can equate that to our prayers today. May he grant you according to your own heart and fulfill all your plans. We will shout for joy in your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up banners. May the Lord fulfill all your prayers. I want you to write this down. I haven't covered this for quite a while, but these are the four things we need to remember and keep in mind. Okay? One, we stand in grace. Two, we walk by faith. Three, we believe in hope. And four, we live in love. And this is how, then, we can face the things that we're going through and also be prepared for what may come down the road in the future. And remember, Jesus said, I will not ever, ever leave you. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.